Someone, they sent me a snap and were like, glad you guys are back in the studio. We need more content. So.
Oh, man.
Okay. And 3, 2, 1. This is episode 4 of The Man Cave, getting over a breakup, and also football is back.
Woo! I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
So... was it last night? It was 2 nights ago, right?
It was
Wednesday night.
No, Tuesday night. Sorry.
Tuesday night. Tuesday night was arguably the film event of the year.
Yes.
Like the, Super Bowl, no.
No. No.
The Masters, no.
No. No. No, 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 no. The finale of The Bachelorette, Hannah B. season.
And how it ended.
Oh,
so
my,
give us a short recap of how... So it's down to three guys, right?
Okay.
And
well,
then
it was
down
to
two.
Yep. It was down to three. She sent Pete the pilot home, okay? And I will say this, okay? I don't condone that show, but I do. I'm a sucker for a good reality TV show. Jersey Shore, Tila Tequila Shot at Love, Flavor of Love.
Oh, God. Those shows are
Rock
so
of
bad.
Love. Oh, dude. terrible. But they're awesome TV, okay?
This was great TV.
Oh.
I'm not a fan. Like, I watched The Bachelor for the first time since I was in, like, high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay.
Yeah.
I thought the guy was kind of a wiener.
Yeah, for sure.
The Bachelorette didn't... This was not one of my favorite girls from The Bachelor.
No, no, no.
So I was a little skeptical of everything. This finale, though,
you hyped it up
for me, so
dude,
I tuned in.
Dude, So, all right, she sends Pete the pilot home. It's now down to America's sweetheart, Tyler C., who is obviously the bro of bros. The dude, independent contractors from Florida. Like, the dude's he's a guy. Like, easily drinks Busch Light.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe even puts in a shot of oil in his coffee in the morning. Like, the dude's he's a guy, right? And then this other dude who's a square. And I'm not even talking about math right now, okay? Jed. Ugh. He's a singer-songwriter from Nashville. Yeah, terrible, right? So basically, we go through. Now it's the ring ceremony, okay? So they have their final dates, whatever. Now it's the guys have to propose, and she's either saying yes or she's saying no, right? So Tyler C. comes up. I'm going crazy. Let's go. It's our time. The dudes are taking over. Tyler C., we did it. He's going through his spiel about he loves her. He can't live without her. And she starts crying, but it's the bad cry, and he feels it. And then she says the worst sentence she could possibly say to the dude. I'm in love with somebody else. I mean, come on. Like, are you serious? And then so she leaves this dude high and dry. He's all hurt about it, obviously. And then she takes this dude named Jed, okay?
The guy looks like a tool.
Oh. You know what I mean?
He looks like to me, he looked like a guy that if you were at a bar and you're like, I got to pick one guy to fight.
This guy's getting a mean right hook, you know what I mean? But anyways, go on, he wins, and then come to find out, dude had a girlfriend 4 months prior to the show who was only going on the show to promote his music.
Of course.
His girlfriend outed him, which I'm thinking to myself, I mean, classic guy move, but honestly... Who goes on one of the biggest shows on TV and doesn't think that their girlfriend from back home will not out them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the, oh, she'll never see me on The Bachelorette. You know, it's like, come on, guy. So anyways, she outs him. Hannah goes crazy, gives him the ring back. Fast forward to the finale, whatever. She's sitting by the guy she sent home, Tyler C., who we're all rooting for, and then asks him to go on a date. And then now I think they're going to get back together, whatever. But... The reason we're getting into this is because it hit me when I saw Tyler, you know, get broken up with. What, dudes, we're here for you. Today we are talking about how to deal with breakups, okay? Girls have all these lists of different, you know, magazines, everything's helping them. We're here, and I'm happy they have those outlets, but we're here for you guys, okay?
Usually the advice for a guy is be a man.
Yeah, drink a beer, be a man, you're good. No, I'm here to tell you, I'm emotionally and physically, we're going to get you through it, okay? Me and JT, we've had some breakups. We can speak from experience here, and we're going to help you through it. What do you think, JT? Obviously, you know, breakups are hard, okay? But what's your take on breakups?
I came to learn that you have to keep things in perspective.
Absolutely.
Like, because if you get so wrapped up in like, oh man, like that was it. Oh, I'll never find someone better than that. You know, then you won't. You know, but if instead you're just like, it's not. I mean, for me, I never was just like whatever and like move on. Like, I was hurt and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, how do you deal with it? I hated feeling like that though. So, listening to sad music or drinking myself to sleep every night never really appealed to me because it's like I don't want to feel like this anymore. Yeah. So I'm gonna like try to do things that I would.
You don't
rather
enhance the depression, right?
Yeah. There you go. You know, you hang out with your friends more. You just do active stuff or even play video games or something. Right. I mean, just something to take your mind off stuff until it just kind of fades. And then you're like, okay. And really, I think interacting with people adds that perspective.
Absolutely.
You can sit in a room by yourself and you can just really start
eating away at
yourself. Yeah, locking yourself into this tiny little box of depression. Or if you just go hang out with people, it adds perspective just because you realize that as you sit there and cry about yourself, the world just moves on.
Yeah,
like all your buddies, your brother, your sisters, whatever, their lives are going, you know, no matter what. So it's kind of like, well, you got to hop back on the train.
I'm with it. And that's why... I'm presenting, this is my theory I have for breakups, okay? I've kind of created this over my lifespan here. I have a 3-week rule, okay? So we're going to go into each week, and I'm going to break it down. But the overview of the weeks are the breakup week, which is the event. It happens.
That was Tuesday night. That was
right?
Yeah.
And then the second week is the I don't need anyone week. You got a little bit of false bravado. You know, I didn't need that 6-year relationship. I'm good, you know?
Denial.
Yes.
Yes.
And then the third week is the confused week. It's the, did I make the right decision? Do I actually miss her? What am I doing, you know? So we're going to go down and break it through. Obviously, week one, the breakup week, it's the event. It happens. A lot of emotions, a lot of things are going to be said, a lot of things that, you know, are going to be hurtful. It's going to hurt the heart to say, you know, oh, I actually dated this person and they're saying this to me? Like, ugh. So then you go through it, okay? So the first week's pretty tough. You know, maybe you overthink it. You're thinking about why did I do this or why did this happen to me? Vice versa. It's tough, wouldn't you say? First week's always tough.
Oh, yeah. The toughest. It only gets easier.
Right. Once you hit the bottom, you can only go up, right? Yep. So now we dive into this week, which is the I don't need anyone week, all right? And guys are very guilty of this one. You break up with somebody, the next week you think, the best thing I can do is forget about it and go talk to a bunch of different people or, you know, just, you know, be mean or whatever, or do whatever, right? That's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is just accept it. Like you were saying, take your mind off it. You know what I mean? Go grab a drink with a friend. Maybe go for a run. Work out. I think exercise is the best way to get your mind off things. Be happy. You know, eat a little bit better. You know, don't stay away from the fast foods. And maybe put some greens in your life. Maybe a fruit. A few grapes never hurt the soul. a celery with some peanut butter? Sign me up, okay?
It's hard to feel bad after that.
Right? But no, wouldn't you say the week after a breakup, when you're going through it and you're now you're in the trying to convince yourself that you never really needed that person, you know, like, and you should always love yourself first and foremost, but obviously, you know, there's going to be some heartbreak.
It's kind of the I'm going to be okay phase.
You know? You just keep repeating it. I'm okay. I don't need anybody. Yeah. I, you know, And so you go through that week, right? And usually the first week's really hard. The second week's, it's like a roller coaster. Second week's always really good because you know, maybe you go out for a drink with your friends and then you're like, oh, it's nice. I don't have to text anyone all day long, or I don't have to let anybody know that, you know, what I'm up to, or I can just do whatever I want, you know, which, you know, so you're going to feel really happy. And then you get into the third week, the confused week. This is the week where you question life. Maybe you're reading a little too much Shel Silverstein, some poetry. You're getting in depth with what you're thinking about, okay? I'm here to tell you, if you break up with somebody, you did it for the right reasons. If you're the one breaking up with them, right? Because that means a sliver went into your brain, right? And told you, I didn't want to be with that person. And if you ever for 1 second think that, then you probably shouldn't even be in that. Because no matter how bad things are, you should never think, oh, life would be better without them in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, even at like one point.
Yeah.
Like if you're just in, for whatever reason, you get into a huge argument with someone and yeah. you're like, you know, essentially like a kid. I hate you. I never want to see you again.
Yeah.
The second it comes out of your mouth, or when you calm down, you're going to be like, yeah. I didn't mean any of that. I'm really sorry.
Right.
You know, but it's like if you rationally in your head, like you rationalized, I don't want to be with this person. For even a second, that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. Then it's like you did not make a mistake.
Yeah,
because I kind of see it as like 3 weeks is perfect in how you're breaking this down.
For
because
sure.
The first week it's all emotions, right?
Yep.
Second week you get tired of those emotions, so then you start rationalizing stuff. Yeah. But then the third week, some of those emotions come rushing back, and then it's like, oh, you know, is that the right thing?
Yeah, I
really do miss her. Or it's like, no, stop.
Yeah.
No, cut it off.
I agree.
Done.
I agree. And I think, you know, a lot of that third week emotions and those thoughts come from the thought of change. Everyone's scared of change.
Yep.
We're all scared of change, you know, whether it's a new job, it's confronting somebody, or it's this, you're getting a breakup, a life change, I'm moving, or, you know, I don't have this person anymore. I can't, now it's just me, you know, maybe those times where you were struggling, had a bad day, and you were looking to talk to somebody. Now you have to just look in the mirror and say, I had a bad day, got to bounce back tomorrow, okay? But, you know, I agree with you 100%. And that third week, that's when you get confused because you're thinking, I shouldn't have done this. Or you're thinking of why'd they do this to me, you know? Like, I'm going to go try to get them back, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's guilty of trying to, you know, and I always think that too. If you break up with somebody and you try to get back with them, the second time will never be the same as the first because... And the second time, the only thing that's in the back of both of people's minds is that at one point in time, the other person didn't want to be with me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Versus the first time, you know, it's not like that. But so I would say, you know, you're going to go through this 3 week process. Okay. You're going through the breakup. You're going through the I don't need anyone week. Then you're going through the confused week. And then once you make it through that third week, And you didn't do anything stupid and you rationalize everything and you came out on top. Now it's time to rebuild. Now we call up Bob the Builder and we say, Bob, we need you to rebuild us. Okay. And he's going to come over there with his Tonka truck and all his tools and you're going to get built up from the ground up. Okay. And then you just start having fun. Then you realize, you know, you wish them nothing but the best. You know, a lot of nasty things were probably said. A lot of bad things were done, but you just wish them the best, you know. No hard feelings. We had our run. It didn't work out. I hope you find someone who makes you happy. And then they'll say the same thing back or whatever. But then you rebuild. You start doing stuff. Find hobbies, you know? Like you were saying, you know, find stuff that makes you happy. Whether it's reading, working out. I mean, I don't know. What are some hobbies? Do you have... Someone asked me that the other day. I didn't know what my hobbies were. And then I had to like really think, what are my hobbies? Working out, hanging out with friends, you know, traveling, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't work out as much as I used to, but that is definitely a hobby. I've gotten into building stuff, though.
Handyman.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. My dad got me a workbench and then got a couple saws. And
yeah. What a dad gift.
Oh, yeah.
Give your son a workbench that he has to build the workbench to work on.
And then he bought himself one, too, and now I have to go build his. Because I built my, he was like, how long did it take you? I was like, I don't know, maybe an hour, if that. And he's like, I barely even pulled it out of the box. Can you come build mine?
Yeah.
I guess, man. I'm but a handyman.
That's what dads are for, because I guarantee you, he could build it if he wanted to, but you don't think so?
No, he could.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't want to.
Yeah, exactly, you know? And it's a life lesson there, you know? So what a good dad, you know? But, yeah, find your hobbies. Find stuff that makes you happy. And then now it's the life after the breakup. And I'll tell this story. So I had a friend, and I won't use names, but I had a friend who was in a relationship for about 4 or 5 years. The girl, they just cut from different cloth, right? The girl was from, you know, city parts. The guy was from country parts, okay? They had different ideas. The families didn't click. You know, whenever he would go down there, the families would kind of pressure him or make him feel insecure about what he was doing because it wasn't their idea of what, you know, what they wanted. And so it finally came to a point, and he said that the relationship got to a point where it was just, they're just arguing, you know what I mean? Just some arguing, just arguing all the time. Right. And it was almost like, why am I in this? You know, like, cause I always think that is people are voluntarily in relationships. If you're not married, you're voluntarily with somebody. You know what I mean? It's just it's a spoken bond that, okay, we're together.
Yeah.
You know, and you're voluntarily in it. So why are you staying in something that doesn't make you happy?
So I have a theory on that.
Okay.
I call it the bubble theory.
Okay.
Because I've had, growing up, I had girlfriends who were not very nice people.
Right.
But I didn't realize that until someone else came along and pushed me outside the bubble. And then when you see it from the outside in, you're like...
Yeah, tunnel
never
vision.
Going back. Right, never going back. Right. So you don't always like realize it's perspective. It's all perspective.
For sure.
Right? You don't always realize what's going on until at one point it was my dad. My dad was like, never bring that girl back here ever.
Oh, that's a tough
one. And I was like,
well, that's tough. If the parents don't like them, you know,
that's it. You're done. Yeah, for me, you're
that's
done.
A tough one. I mean, you can't do it, you know.
Or my little sister is notoriously the most judgmental person on the girls I date. She's better now, but that was like notorious for it. So if she approved of someone, then it was like you're in. But if she didn't,
The family
I started looking
test,
at writing on the wall.
Family test is a tough one. If you pass it and you get through, you're golden. But if you don't, man, you talk about a lot of adversity ahead of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
I don't think you can.
I've met people who like legitimately just don't like
so and so.
Yeah, their girlfriend's dad or brother or something, and it's like she's close with her brother. So what are you gonna do?
Right?
You better win that war eventually. I don't know.
No, I hear you. Okay, back to the story here.
Sorry.
Right. No. I love the bubble theory. I agree with you 100%. So back to the story. So eventually one day he just had enough, and he says, I think we just need to be done, right? And obviously the girl's first reaction when he says this is, I'll change. Because people say that in a relationship, whether it's a girl breaking up with a guy or a guy breaking up with a girl, you know, your first reaction is, I'll change. I want this, okay? Because it's like, we've done this for, 5 years now? Our families know each other. We're comfortable. I don't want to go through this with anybody else. So I'll change. But the problem is, if you didn't want to change, if breaking up has to make you change, then you never really wanted to change in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because you're forced into something. So anyways, they break up. He goes through the 3-week process like we discuss. And probably a month or two later, he ends up finding, he finds this girl who his sister was friends with, and he just knew from, you know, a long time, and they started talking, just kind of hit it off. And then next thing you know, he flew on a plane to go see her, comes home, and is like, I think I met the love of my life. And then, boom, ends up marrying this girl. You know what I mean? So it's something where, like you were saying, you think you'll never find somebody. When you're in that situation, you leave it, I'll never find someone ever again. How do I even date? How do I even find somebody, you know? You got to have faith. You got to trust the process, okay? Because like he got out of that thing, and he probably had no idea. He was like, I'm not happy. I just want to be happy. And then he finds someone, makes us happy. And then 2 years later, he's married to that girl, and he couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have another theory kind of along the lines of that story, that if you, I don't know too many people who found a significant other by trying really hard. You know, like they're just trying to find, you know, date someone really hard. I'm not saying like I've had a crush on this girl for years now I'm single, she's single, I'm gonna go after her. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like
the people
like,
who force love.
Actively like trying to go on dates with people and everything. I've never met someone that like was truly successful from that. It's usually they'll go through that and then or some version of that and then they'll be like, man, this is dumb, I'm fed up with it, I'm just gonna take a break for a second. Like within 48 hours you will meet the love of your life if you do
that's
that.
How it works. That's, man,
the universe works like that.
It's crazy,
the
isn't it?
The second you stop trying, there she is.
As long as you just be a good person. All right, guys, just be a good guy. Be respectful and just have fun. And it almost is like the universe gravitates towards you and puts the love of your life in the right space for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They always say you never expect to meet the most important people of your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just kind of somehow it happens. And then you hear the stories all the time is, I had no expectations. I was just hanging out. And then next thing you know, you're married and all that stuff. Yeah, but
pretty cool.
So that's the breakdown there of how to deal with a breakup. Big shout out to Tyler C. Hope it works out with Hannah B. Man, we're rooting for you. All the guys in the universe are rooting for that. What a guy. That guy's a dude of dudes. You know what I mean? Like that's a guy who would grab a beer with Dog the Bounty Hunter. You know what I mean? Like that's a guy. All right, moving on. Very excited. The NFL and football is back, baby. Preseason game last night between the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds. Shout out Ludacris, Jumaine Dupree, and all the boys down in the ATL.
Is Nelly? No, Nelly's St. Louis.
Nelly is St. Louis. My
bad.
It's all right. We forgive you. And also playing the Denver Broncos, John Denver. Is he from Denver?
I don't know. John Elway played for them.
Yeah, there we'll go. Yeah. I was just thinking of the old country road, take me home. Yeah. So anyways, NFL is back. We are excited. And we have some tips and tricks to get the most out of the football season being back. Also, shameless plug here, go Lions. I bleed Honolulu blue and silver. My co-host here is a Bears fan.
I am.
That's okay. We're still friends at the end of the day.
Well, I did want to ask you about something real quick before we jump into some of the most important topics for to have a solid NFL season as a fan.
Right.
But over under how many wins? 6.5 for the Lions.
Lions will go undefeated and win the Super Bowl.
Such a shameless Lions fan.
Lions are going undefeated, winning the Super Bowl, and they're winning the Super Bowl 100-0. And I will be at the parade. I promise you that. Die hard. And it's just like, you gotta be, baby. I mean, I love my home state and love the teams. You know, Tigers, Red Wings, Pistons. I don't know if there's any NASCAR drivers from Michigan, but if there are, I'm not
with them.
I'm with you. And Lions, baby. You gotta be a Lions fan if you're from the Mitten. You know what I mean? Well, unless your family's from, if you're from the UP Packers, I get that. Or if your family's from Chicago, or you know, so I get that. I get that.
There's one thing I've always appreciated about Lions fans, and I mean, I could be wrong. I haven't met fans from, you know, I haven't met too many Jacksonville Jaguar fans or something, but the one thing I've always appreciated more than anything. So, like, I grew up, I was born after the legendary Ditka 85 Bears, the Monsters of the Midway and all that.
Yep.
My entire childhood that I remember, the Bears had, like, Wani as their coach, and Kramer was throwing footballs into the stands. They were so bad.
Okay.
You know, the Bears have been awful my whole life. And then all of a sudden, when I was in college, they got good.
Yeah.
Went to the Super Bowl. Lost to Peyton Manning.
Devin Hester taking that one of the house,
opening kickoff and you lose. Like, come on. Yep. Rex Grossman. But that's like a four-letter word in our house. Rex Grossman. Don't say it in my house. But, you know, and getting down on them and like, you know, the emotion of like supporting a team that sucks year after year after year. So like at the beginning of every year, though, my dad was always, and my grandpa was the same way, always a pessimist. They'll be all right, I guess. They're going to be terrible, something like that. Every year for the Lions, you, all my friends, everyone, they're winning it, dude. This is the year. They could just like...
Go 0-16?
Well, they...
Yeah, they could, and then we're winning the Super Bowl the next year. You can't lose any more games than zero. You know what I mean? We're going up to the top, baby.
I was gonna say they could have an entire offseason where they do nothing and they just like don't pick someone during the draft, and everyone would still be like,
oh yeah,
Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. I'm so geeked out. So geeked out. No, but so as you're gearing up for the season, fellas, get in your fantasy leagues if that's what you do. Me personally, this is another reason why I'm a diehard Lions fan. I don't play fantasy football because I'm not going to cheer against the Lions. So
you have to.
If I have like a $500 winning pool or whatever it is, and I got whoever, like some guy from like the Packers or whatever playing the Lions, and I need him to score points, I would be, say he got the points and I won the money or whatever, I would be so distraught. Like, no way. So I don't even put myself in that position. So I just watch it. Turn it on, baby. Let me soak in this. Oh, I love it. I love it. But yeah, get in your fantasy leagues. Start texting your guy friends. Make it a thing. Sunday, Monday nights. We got to get together. You got to tell the wife. Tell the girlfriend. I'm sorry. I don't got time. I need my one day a week. This is it. I'm going to Steve's house, and we're just going to have a few and watch the game.
Yeah. Take her to dinner on like Friday night or something.
Yep. Butter her up. Let her know that it's going to be okay when I leave Sunday, because we're going to dinner next Friday. You're getting a 2-for-20 next Friday if you let me go on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, start texting your friends. Get geeked up. Now's the time. You know what I mean? It's preseason. I love preseason. Lions, best preseason football team in America. I mean, don't at me there, but I'm pumped about it. Also, surround yourself with like-minded fans. Like me and JT are saying here, if you're a Bears fan, find yourself a few Bears fans, you know? Make sure you're with people who are cheering for the same teams, because the last thing you want to do is be angry watching a game. I've sat next to a lot of people who are Lions fans, but they're pessimistic Lions fans. And they're, oh, yep, we suck. And all I can think about is, you are the worst Lions fan.
I can't stand that.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I would rather have the guy that's, you know, damn it!
Yeah.
Throwing stuff, because it's like, all right, this guy loves the Lions, instead of just like, well, there we go again.
Another
Stafford.
Pick.
Yeah. Anyone else surprised?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I hate it. Oh, another loss. We suck. And like, all right, dude, go hit the showers and never come back. So those kind of people are the worst people. Don't be that guy. If you're rooting for your team, root for them blindlessly, okay?
See, and being a Bears fan in Michigan, I don't mind being I call it a pilgrim in a land of heathens.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
For sure.
But at the end of the day, I think I'm probably a very friendly Bears fan compared to others. Some Bears fans are rather rabid.
Yeah. That's the Chicago mindset, baby. You gotta be. You know what
Kill.
I mean?
Kill. Annihilate. No, I have respect for opponents.
Yeah.
So like Matthew Stafford, you could hit that guy with a car and he would pop back up and throw a touchdown the next
play. The game
winning
pass?
Yeah. Like
that guy,
you have to have respect for a guy like that. You know, there are players on the Lions that you have to have respect for if you're a fan of the game at all.
Oh, for
so,
sure.
I mean, I have no problem. Whenever the Lions play anyone but the Bears, I always root for them.
I love it. I love it. And I would say I root for the Bears, but I don't root for any other team besides the Lions. So.
The one thing I hope we can agree on is the Packers are the worst team in the history of the world.
You know, I will say this. I'm not a fan of the Packers, okay? But I will say one of my favorite players of all time is Brett Favre. He's actually one of the reasons I started playing football as a kid growing up. So I love Brett Favre and just his whole story. If you ever get a chance, watch his NFL Films documentary. It's so good. But enough about them. Go Lions. Let's go, baby.
All right, yeah.
Not only is NFL back, college football's coming back. Make sure you make it a precedent to get with your friends on Saturdays, okay? Whether that's going to a tailgate, whether that's streaming a game live at a house, or just, you know, maybe getting some Tostitos and some chunky salsa and some queso dip, all those fun Saturday snacks. Get with the fellas. You can even bring Saturday. This is a theory I have. Saturday college football game days are great girlfriend parties.
I was just thinking that.
Just bring the girlfriends. They're all going to talk in the kitchen about so-and-so, this or that, da-da-da. You're with the fellas. And then next thing you know, wow, I had a really good time over at Dan's house. We should go next weekend, you know? And you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And until Dan goes south and, you know, maybe has too much fun and then accidentally says something that he shouldn't and then everyone gets mad at Dan. Then you got to go to Jerry's house, yeah. You know? So Dan's not getting the invite.
Yeah, Dan.
And then last but not least, get a jersey. Whether
you have to.
You have to.
I held off on this for years.
You regret it. You regret it.
Every day. And then last year I was like, well, see, I guess I'm not a gambler. So I was like, I'm also very superstitious.
Yeah.
Okay, so back up. My brother has bought two jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in D.C. He bought an RG3 jersey.
Yep.
The next year, RG3 was the worst, like fell apart completely.
Right, 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 right.
Career
right.
Like over, you
right.
know.
Yep.
Then he buys a Jay Cutler jersey. I hate Jay Cutler. I don't think he's a bad guy or anything like that. I hated watching him play football for the Chicago Bears. Right. I hated every second of it.
Right.
So my brother has two jerseys and they're two like worthless players.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go the route. I wanted a Khalil Mack, number two rated player in the NFL right now. Wanted a Khalil Mack jersey. Love him. A lot of fun to play
yeah.
or watch play. But I don't want to jinx him. I don't want a Madden cover yeah. Khalil Mack. So
yeah. Yeah.
I got Walter Payton. Go yeah. with a classic. If you're a Lions, Barry Sanders.
He's not even playing, so he can't play. Yeah. And he's already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So it's he can't. So you know what I mean?
Lions, Barry Sanders, Joey Harrington.
Oh. Love primetime Joe, baby.
King of the 4 yard pass.
It's funny you said that about superstition. I bought a Reggie Bush jersey when he came to Lions because I'm like, I grew up USC Reggie
Bush.
This
is the last 100 yard in the game, right?
Is he? I thought Kerryon Johnson was this year. We'll have to fact check.
Yeah, this last year. Yeah, he did. You're right.
But so I'm pumped up. Reggie Bush is coming back. This is it. You know, this is it. And every year I wear it, you know, it's like, come on, man. Like, I feel like I'm jinxing the Lions to the point where I just bought like a $10 generic Lions shirt and we started winning. So I'm like,
yeah,
I'm just going to hang the Reggie jersey up. But this year I'm going to buy a special one. I don't know what. I might even get one of those custom, you know.
What, Doherty?
No, I wouldn't put Doherty. I put like
the mayor.
I don't know, something fun like that, right? Or like Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
2020.
Yeah.
Dude, something. But I'm getting a new jersey this year. I have to. You know
what you could do?
Yeah.
A great jersey would be, why am I drawing a blank on his name? The kicker for years. Highest scoring Lion ever.
Matt Hansen. No, is that Hansen?
Yeah, Hansen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Field goal kicker?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I'm
trying to blank on this name.
I don't know. When I say Matt Hansen, I feel like that's wrong.
Is it? It's not Jason Hansen, is it? No.
Oh my! I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, it is Matt. It should be Matt Hansen, right? Jason Hansen.
Jason, I was right.
Yeah. Yes, nice. Sorry. Yeah, diehard Lions fan here. Jeez.
You could get his. I mean, he's not the sexiest player that the Lions ever had, but he was the most consistent. Through all the trials and tribulations.
Steady.
Yeah.
He got points. That's what he did.
Yep.
He got points. But I mean, we're excited, right? So wrapping up today's episode, the breakups, they're tough, but you're going to get through it. And if you listen to our advice, you're going to come out on top. And then with that being said, what a perfect segue. NFL is back. Football is back. The boys are back in town. Pump some Thin Lizzy through those earmuffs. Get it going. Get the chip dip flowing. Get the beers on ice. Make sure you put the water in the fridge. Get the grills going. Football's back, baby.
Yep.
Let's go.
I've almost got my man cave all set.
That's right. That's right. Pumped.
All right. I got one quick question for you.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. A would you rather?
Oh, yes.
This, and you got to kind of use your imagination a little bit. All right.
I'm creative.
So the first one, not so much. Second one, yes. Would you rather square up in an Oklahoma drill, full pads, everything, with my boy Khalil Mack?
Oh, gosh. Dude, he's a 99 on Madden. What do you mean? Like,
the look on your face.
What? He's a 99.
Or, would you rather catch all practice? You have to catch all the passes, no pads, anything, from Michael Vick via the Powerade commercial back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Throws it out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Knocks you back 10 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
What would you rather do?
I will say this. Only reason I'm going the Khalil Mack one is because it would be a two-second thing where I'd just get annihilated. Okay, the Mike Vick one, sit for 2 hours catching those Powerade passes.
Let's say it's five passes. You have to catch five passes.
Not even. Dude, 3 seconds. Boom, done. I'm in a hospital. You know what I mean? 3 hits in that. Him hit me. Me hitting the ground. Ambulance hit 90 on the highway. That's it. 3 hits in that whole ordeal. Mike Vick, whipping those things, baby. Those Powerade passes, not a chance. Not a chance.
They almost go through you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm going Khalil Mack. What about you?
I do Khalil Mack.
Yeah, you have to, just, man.
I mean, at the end of the day, for me in particular, it's like, man, Scarp, what happened, man? You broke your leg, 4 ribs, cracked your skull, can't see out of one eye. Toe-to-toe with Khalil Mack, man.
Yeah, it's a good story.
I survived, all right? He had a couple bumps and bruises.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Jeez.
No. See, I'd rather do that.
No, for sure, rather than catching those Powerade passes. Not a chance.
Take your hand off. Imagine trying to go for one. It'd rip your arm off. Have you ever seen the movie The Jackal? Jack Black gets his arm blown off? That's what it'd be
like.
I
haven't seen it, but...
Yeah.
No way. Mike Vick, one of my favorite players of all time, too. I love Mike Vick. I mean...
Mike Vick was an electric player.
Well, that wraps it up. Episode 4, right?
In the books. Getting over a breakup, and football is back.
Let's go.
Good advice. Good advice for football and for breakups. JT Scarpelli.
Bing, bang, boom.
The man.